Hello, this is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, May the 29th. I hope you had a great holiday weekend and that Memorial was good for you. From the front page today, police investigate Sunday shooting of a 16-year-old. Clinton police are investigating a shooting that sent a 16-year-old to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds. On Sunday at about 11:32 p.m., Clinton police were dispatched to the intersection of North Center Street and Woodlawn Street for a report of shots fired. Emergency responders found a 16-year-old juvenile who had been shot several times. The victim was transported by DeWitt County EMS to an area hospital and was reported in stable condition. Police collected security footage from the cameras located in the area. The investigation is ongoing, assisted by DeWitt County Sheriff's Office and Illinois State Police Crime Scene Services. Authorities believe it to be an isolated incident with no threat to the general public. No additional information was currently available. And also from the front page, Chief Flowers speaks during Memorial Day event, Gordon Woods reporting. Clinton Chief of Police Ben Lauer spoke Monday during Clinton's Memorial Day ceremonies held in the newly restored Civil War Soldiers' Plot in Woodlawn Cemetery. Lauer offered thanks to veterans, active duty service people, military, and Gold Star families as he began his address on Monday. Memorial Day means something different in small towns like ours, Lauer said. He said to many in urban areas, Memorial Day might seem like an unofficial start to summer, but in small towns where everybody knows each other, where names on memorials are not strangers, but rather classmates, neighbors, relatives, coaches, teachers, and friends, this day carries a deeper meaning. Lauer cited the generations of young people who chose to serve something greater than themselves. He said some came home with memories they would bear forever, and some never came home at all. Today is about them. Lauer said he has the privilege of working with men and women who wear a badge, and something he had learned was public service changes a person. We often talk about running toward the things that others run from, Lauer said. And when you willingly place yourself between danger and the people you swore to protect, it shapes your character forever. He said it was true for police officers, but was especially true for military veterans, because they understood that freedom was never free. It has always required ordinary people willing to do extraordinary things at critical moments, he said. This is the story of America, he said. Generations of young Americans since the Revolutionary War had stood up when their country called. And so many of these Americans came from towns exactly like ours, Lauer said. Small towns have always carried a large share of America's service. Lauer acknowledged the bond between law enforcement members and those of the military. And he said that not serving the military was one of his biggest regrets. We have one obituary in the news today. Donna Maxine Good, 93, of Clinton, passed away at 5:55 p.m. on May the 19th, 2026, at Vanderleith Living Center in Mount Pulaski. Graveside services will be conducted at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 6th, 2026, at Oak Park Cemetery in Clinton, with Adam Brucker officiating. There will be no visitation. Calvert Funeral Home Clinton is in charge of arrangements. And now, from the op-ed page, the column On Point by Richard Corax. Too fast, too slow. The vast majority of elected officials truly want to serve their constituents and their communities. City council members, local boards and commissions, as well as county board members, simply are not in their positions for the money. They often work for no salary or for minimal remuneration for the hours and responsibilities involved. The officials want to make right decisions, but they want information regarding the subject matter. Obtaining information is often a lengthy process. The public wants action and results, and they want it yesterday. The paradox is obvious, with the elected officials caught in the crosshairs. The elected officials who seem to be the most under fire at this time are the county board members in central Illinois. These county boards may lean Republican or Democrat, but the party affiliation matters little. What can cause such angst and rude behavior at a county board meeting? Wind turbines are coming, a solar farm is being planned, and lately a data center is being proposed. These feelings and motivations are intense on both sides of the issue, and then there is the clock ticking in the background. Decisions must be made, but what is the process and what is the timeline? Logan and DeWitt County boards have voted to essentially have a moratorium on data centers for a year to study and plan for the possibility of data centers in their counties. Are there risks in delay? Of course. However, there are equal risks in acting before the facts are known. Both county boards are in a difficult position. There is a movement to construct a data center in Mount Pulaski Taxing District. Such a center would bring significant funds into the Mount Pulaski School District via tax revenue. Then there is the opposing concern about the loss of productive farmland. Add to this the potential of environmental damage and disruption to the local status quo. Will the developer simply go to another county and build there, giving those taxing districts the revenue and the potential environmental issues? We don't know. Will the developer seek to build by requesting those permits before the county has established its procedures and safeguards, thereby forcing action by the county board? We don't know. Will the state of Illinois simply exercise its superior authority and write its own rules and regulations? We don't know. While I am unaware of any imminent request to erect a data center in DeWitt County, it is obvious that those request possibilities are looming, and DeWitt County does not have a current code model to address those potential requests on file. Studies and planning are an important aspect of making government effective for both the business community and the local constituents. If the county moves too slowly, it may lose significant tax revenue. If the county moves too fast, there is a risk of environmental harm with less than well-thought-out regulations. The downside for both counties is the data center developers are ahead of the counties on the planning curve. Data centers were not even on most counties' radar 5 years ago. Today, they are the zoning issue for local government. Most county boards long ago learned how to balance business needs with constituent concerns and develop a plan that works for all. The issue is not so much the action or inaction by the county boards. The issue is Springfield and Chicago. Chicago and Springfield want the data centers for their use. They just don't want the actual physical structure in their backyards. The legislative votes and governor are all north of I-80. Downstate is simply an afterthought to many in Chicago. Their concept of rural life simply lacks the reality of farmland and open fields with good water underneath. The county boards need to go slow enough to get the information right and fast enough to beat Chicago's influence of regulations. Most of us will trust our local county boards any day before we trust Chicago telling us how to manage our local affairs. Richard Corrix is an Illinois native attorney and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And now from our columns page, the Prairie Doc. Adverse childhood experiences, from a public health crisis to clinical opportunity, by Chrissy Young, Masters of Social Work. Since the landmark 1998 study conducted by the CDC and Kaiser Permanente, it has been understood that adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, traumatic experience occurring before age 18 have a profound and lasting impact on adult health. These experiences, ranging from abuse and neglect to household dysfunction like substance misuse or mental illness, are remarkably common. Approximately 62% of adults have experienced at least one ACE, and 1 in 6 report 4 or more. The evidence of a response relationship between ACEs and negative health outcomes is striking. Individuals with high ACE scores, 4 or more, face significantly increased risk for 9 of the 10 leading causes of death in the United States. This includes a 2.1-fold increased risk of heart disease, 2.3-fold for cancer, 3.1-fold for chronic lower respiratory disease. The impact on behavioral health is even more acute, with high ACE scores associated with a 4.7-fold increase in depression, a 10-point-fold increase in substance dependence, and a staggering 37.5-fold increase in suicide attempts. The biological mechanism driving these outcomes is the toxic stress response. When significant adversity is experienced without the buffering protection of safe, stable relationship, it leads to prolonged activation of the body's stress response systems. This disruption to neuroendocrine immune metabolic function, or NEIM function, alters gene expression via epigenetic markers, accelerates cellular aging through the shortening of telomeres. However, the most critical takeaway for clinicians is that ACEs are not destiny. The brain and body remain malleable throughout the life course, and targeted interventions can improve outcomes even for adults with high ACE scores. The modern clinical response requires moving beyond isolated medical treatments toward a multidisciplinary network of care that leverages the expertise of the community health workers. Community health workers, CHWs, are essential in mitigating factors because they are uniquely positioned to solve for social determinants of health. Because ACEs often co-occur with challenges like housing instability, food insecurity, and economic hardship, CHWs help patients secure these basic needs. By addressing these external stressors, CHWs effectively lower the cumulative dose of adversity the patient experiences, which is necessary for the body to return to the state of homeostasis. Furthermore, as culturally congruent navigators, they build the trust needed to coach patients in self-care and stress-busting strategies. Robust evidence suggests that 7 key evidence-based strategies can mitigate NEIM disruptions and enhance neuroplasticity. Those are, 1, supportive relationships, buffering stress through strong emotional connections. 2, quality sleep, improving immune regulation through healthy sleep habits. 3, balanced nutrition, counteracting pro-inflammatory states with anti-inflammatory states. 4, regular physical activity, promoting neurogenesis and metabolic health. 5, mindfulness practice, reducing stress hormones and improving emotional regulation. 6, access to nature, lowering blood pressure and calming the stress response. 7, mental and behavioral health care, trauma-informed therapies to reverse cellular wear and tear. Implementing trauma-informed care, TIC, allows providers to move the clinical inquiry from what is wrong with you to what happened to you. By recognizing toxic stress as a treatable health condition and utilizing CHWs to address underlying social needs, we can offer genuine healing. In doing so, we not only improve individual adult outcomes, but also interrupt the intergenerational transmission of adversity, providing a healthier foundation for the next generation. Chrissy Young, a Master of Social Work, is a director of the Center of the Prevention of Child Maltreatment at the University of South Dakota. She leads statewide efforts to strengthen child and family serving systems through training, technical assistance, prevention initiatives, and cross-sectors collaboration. Her work focuses on building community and professional capacity to better recognize, respond to, and prevent child maltreatment and adverse childhood experiences. More than half of Illinois crops in the ground as planting progresses, by Rhiannon Branch from Farm Week. While some Illinois farmers finished planting earlier than usual this spring, others are still in the middle of a drawn-out season. Kendall Grundy Farm Bureau President Bob Stewart farms in DeWitt, Kendall, Piatt, and Will counties and got an early start in his central Illinois fields. We planted some beans in March in central Illinois, which we've never done before, and we put in the beans and commercial corn in pretty good time in April, Stewart told Farm Week. But it has been a waiting game for favorable conditions further north near his home in Kendall County, where he is behind his usual April planting schedule. We have been trying to make up for lost time here in the last week and a half and have gotten quite a few of our beans in, but I'm still a little hesitant to put corn in the ground because it's been cold and wet up here, he said May 14th. Stewart had most of his central Illinois fields and about half of his northern fields planted as of that day. It seems like a long season. Usually we can get done in 3 weeks, and here we've been going for a month and a half with intermittent starts and stops, said Stewart, who said he needed another week of favorable weather to finish, but forecasted rain was likely to lengthen the timeline. Statewide, more than half of Illinois corn and soybeans have been planted. USDA's Crop Progress and Condition Report, released May 11th, showed 54% of corn was planted in line with the 5-year average pace, and 57% of soybeans were in the ground, 10 percentage points ahead of average. The report showed 30% of corn and 31% of soybeans had emerged, both ahead of average. Stewart said crops that have emerged look good so far, aside from some frost damage to soybeans near Farmer City that he intends to replant. Winter wheat fields are 73% headed, which is 20 percentage points above average. USDA reported the condition of the crop 10% excellent, 60% good, 20% fair, 5% poor, and 2% very poor. The final outlooks for May from the Climate Prediction Center indicate higher chances of cooler than normal weather and higher chances of drier than normal weather for the upper Midwest, including northern Illinois. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. Payroll jobs up. Springfield. The Illinois Department of Employment Security, IDES, announced today that the unemployment rate was 5.1% in April, unchanged from March, and up plus 0.6 percentage point from the same month 1 year ago. Based on data provided by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the revised March unemployment rate was 5.1%. Total non-farm payrolls increased over the month in April, up plus 11,400, 0.2%, to 6,158,800. The March monthly change in payrolls was revised from the preliminary report from 8,400 to 10,300. The April payroll jobs estimate and unemployment rate reflect activity for the week, including the 12th. The industry sectors with the largest monthly payroll jobs increases included trade, transportation, and utilities, up by 4,600, leisure and hospitality, up by 3,300, and private education and health services, up by 3,100. The sectors with the over-the-month job decreases included professional and business services, down by 2,400, financial activities, down by 1,400, and government, minus 200. Compared to a year ago, total non-farm payroll jobs were down 4,500. The industry groups with the largest job increases included private education and health services, plus 20,100, construction, plus 7,300, and other services, plus 3,100. The industry groups with the largest jobs decreases included professional and business services, down 14,300, trade, transportation, and utilities, down 9,900, and financial activities, down 6,900. In April, total non-farm payrolls were down 0.1% over the year in Illinois and up 0.2% in the nation. April's numbers show continued resilience in parts of Illinois economy with growth in several key sectors, said Deputy Governor Andy Menar. At the same time, continued uncertainty coming from the federal government and other mixed economic indicators reinforce the need to continue investing in long-term growth and maintain the fiscal discipline that has strengthened Illinois' economic foundation. Illinois' payroll gains in April are a result of the strategic investments the state of Illinois is making in key industry sectors while supporting our world-class workforce, said DCEO Director Kristen Richards. With the commitment to bolstering economic development, the state will continue to create opportunity as it supports employers and employees throughout Illinois. The number of unemployed persons in April was 337,300, up 0.8% from March and up 12.7% over the same month 1 year ago. The labor force was down 0.2% from March and down 0.8% over the year. The unemployment rate identifies those individuals who are out of work and seeking employment. As an individual who exhausts or is ineligible for benefits is still reflected in the unemployment rate if they are actively seeking work. IDES helps connect job seekers to employers who are hiring in a number of ways, including hosting and co-hosting job fairs and hiring events with statewide workforce partners and through maintaining Illinois Job Link, IJL, the state's largest job search engine. IJL is a tool used by job seekers to look for work and by employers who can post open and available positions for hire and browse resumes. Recently, IJL showed 58,231 posted resumes with 67,299 jobs available. Additionally, in partnership with IDOL and DCEO, IDES published resources to assist federal employees and contractors impacted by recent terminations or deferred resignations. Monthly 2021 through 2021 2025 seasonally adjusted labor force data for Illinois and all other states have been revised as required by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The monthly historical revisions to state labor force estimates reflect new national benchmark controls, state working age population controls, outlier specifications, seasonal factors, as well as updated total non-farm jobs and unemployment benefits claims inputs. Illinois labor force data were also smoothed to eliminate large monthly changes as a result of volatility in the monthly current population survey and national benchmarking. For these reasons, the comments and tables citing unemployment rates in previous news releases and materials may no longer be valid. Monthly seasonally adjusted unemployment rates for Illinois and the Chicago, Naperville, Schaumburg Metropolitan Division are available. Monthly 2021 through 2025 seasonably adjusted non-farm payroll employment data for Illinois have been revised to control for potential survey error. The estimates are benchmarked annually to universal counts derived primarily from unemployment insurance tax report. Not seasonally adjusted jobs data with industry detail are available. Other services include activities in three broad categories: personal and laundry, repair and maintenance, and religious, grant making, civic, and professional organizations. Seasonally adjusted data for subsectors within the industries are not available. About the Department of Employment Security, the Illinois Department of Employment Security, IDES, provides vital employment services to Illinois workers, job seekers, and employment, with resources including job fairs, IllinoisJobLink.com, and Workshare Illinois, and analyzes and disseminates actionable labor market information and administers the unemployment insurance program. As a reminder, entrance sought for the July 4th parade in Clinton. Clinton Celebrates America 250 Committee is accepting entries for the July 4th parade that will kick off the full day of activities on Mr. Lincoln Square. With a theme of Let Freedom Ring, entrants are encouraged to show off their patriotic spirit for the city's observance of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The 10 a.m. parade will line up on West Main Street and march to the corner of West Main and Quincy Street. Entries invited to participate include walkers, vehicles, floats, and equestrian entries. Clinton Celebrates America 250 is a volunteer organization that began planning in the fall for the July 3rd through 5th schedule of entertainment and activities. Clinton Mayor Helen McAlessie and City Administration Tony Harris are members of the committee. Parade entry forms are available from organizer Edith Brady-Lunny at ebluny@hotmail.com or the Vespasian Warner Public Library. Deadline for entry is June the 15th. A full schedule of family-friendly activities, food, music, will open on the square after the parade. Live entertainment includes free concerts on Friday and Saturday nights and Sunday at noon. An interdenominational church service will be held Sunday morning on the square. And I will leave you today with this historical note. 1953, Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay became the first men to reach the top of Mount Everest.